Good morning. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful retreat we had here. It's wonderful to have this place where we have this shared language with developing spiritual community and what that spiritual journey looks like. In this metaphor of the train, it's an all-inclusive trip. It's like you don't need to bring clothing because the Lord's going to supply you with these radiant robes that are His, the highest quality. You don't need to bring food because there's living water, there's wine, there's a table set before you, there's a feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus shares His communion with the Father, with you. You have this intimate desire of your heart being fulfilled for the deepest intimacy possible. You have this intimate community gathered around you that is Jesus's community. That He is, well, He's trained them up how to do community well. And He's sharing that with you. You have this extended family of people who are always drawing together, and you're getting to know each other more and being pulled into this full union. And then you have this wide sweep of the Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself, the Spirit going out into all the world and taking us with Him to gather people in to that loving community. So, yeah. Come on board. It's a good trip. As I was preparing for this message, I was really struck from the bard Paul Simon, "I Am a Rock." And this is probably the song that captured my existential dread as a teenager. And in this frustrated desire of unrequited love, this sense of wanting to belong, in a family of eight and feeling loved but feeling understood and like an outsider, not really knowing where I fit in my family, with finding love in my life at, 16, 17, a lasting love, that special someone, searching for God, not really knowing how to connect with God, just feeling out there on my own. And this song, I used to work in the darkroom. I was a yearbook photographer, among other things. And so I'd be in the darkroom about an hour and a half a day. And whenever songs like this would come on the rock station, like Paul Simon, "I Am a Rock." A winter's day in the deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, on freshly fallen, silent shroud of snow. Fresh snow is beautiful. It's quiet. Gets you in touch with what's happening inside you, even if that's a dark and melancholy place. It is an authentic place. I am a rock. I am an island. I built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. That unrequited love. I am a rock, I am an island. Don't talk of love, but I've heard the word before. I understand the concept. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock, I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor. Hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one, and no one touches me. I am a rock. I am an island. And a rock feels no pain. And an island never cries. There is that place of the false self says that if I can escape pain, then I will be safe. And we choose, in essence, this lesser hell, this outer darkness, to avoid the risk of being disappointed. Disappointed in love, disappointed in community, and disappointed with God. That it's, we think, the lie we tell ourselves, it's easier to be alone Well, thankfully, at 17, I wasn't so jaded to give up on love forever. I had tasted enough to want more, to get off my island and to risk reaching out to people. Reaching out, getting rejected in love, reaching out in friendships and finding community, drama club and the track team and the wrestling team, and finding my place in community. But that was never, it was rewarding, but never enough to fill me. And so we do these reaching out to communities. Where can I fit in? Where can I belong? And we begin to get an identity built through the eyes of others. We find out what we're good at, what we're not good at, we're learning how to communicate with one another in ways that builds each other up and not always competing and tearing each other down. Ray mentioned this morning in Sacred Space that there's one man in the world who's not in competition with you and actually wants you to rise above them, and that's your Father. That's your Father. And the beauty of that, for someone to be so for you that they want to lift you up beyond where they have been. They want to place you on their shoulders so you can reach higher. And Kathy was was talking about how the humility of God, that he's going to share his glory with us. So let's jump into the text. We're not going to get to the whole sermon today. We're going to get to the intro, because the intro is richer than I think the rest of the sermon. So, from John 17, 20 to 23, and this is part of Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's at the end of his earthly ministry, before he goes to the cross. And speaking of his disciples, as he's praying to the Father, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. So how will God do this? And when did it enter in his mind to do this? Did it just come into his mind at the end of his earthly ministry? Oh, I got an idea. Was it there at the beginning of his ministry? And we will see that if we get to the second passage of Scripture. Or just allude to it. Or was it there at the beginning of creation when he created us in his image? This union of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that this Trinitarian communion is the image we're created in. We weren't created to be a solitary rock. And when God creates creation, God in God's glory and humility does not want to be an isolated island high above us, keeping us humble so he looks even more magnificent. God is not proudful. The Father is not prideful. All that he has, he shares with the Son, the incarnate Son, who comes to earth, leaves, as it were, the island of heaven, comes to earth into the muck and mire that we're in, into the possibility and the goodness that he desires to bring forth through all that fertilizer. God wants to transform it all with his very goodness, with his very presence, with his very all of all that he is in that union, not something held far above us that we can't attain, nor do we attain it. He comes and brings it down. He brings that communion down to us. And he says, climb on board. Be one with me. Eat with me. Sup with me. Wear my clothing. Be part of my family. Be part of my community. Be part of my outreach to the world as I draw all nations to myself. This is the rhythm of Jesus, abiding deeply in communion, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's at the core of our prayer life. It's our first order calling to love God with all our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a calling he's implanted in each and every one of us to love him with all that we are. Sasha, go ahead and put up those three concentric circles, if you would. To love him with all that we are in that inner communion. And that is the Trinitarian communion. And it's not only the Trinitarian communion, but that communion spills out into a community. This community of a shared love of God. You know, communities are built around shared loves. Broncos fans, you're going to get together. If you love dancing, you're going to get together with people who love to dance. If you love music, and you're going to probably join a band and get together. If you love cycling, you're going to join a cycling club. If you love feeding the homeless, you're going to join communities that are meetups and groups that are doing that. We center around shared love. Love gives a calling to our heart to step into a world that is larger than ourselves, to be sharing in this image of God in us, to be in union with one another. We're built for it. And if we decide to remain a rock, isolated and alone, we're choosing an outer darkness, a form of outer darkness. You know, the cowardly will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, because love takes courage. Love can wound you. Love can rip you in half. Love can get you crucified. But beyond the crucifixion, there is death and there is a resurrection of drawing all people into that true communion that arises out of the grave by the Spirit of God making all things new. This is the life we're invited to live. This is the courage of the Spirit within us, drawing us, calling us. That God-shaped hole in our heart, that until we start living that life out, that will never be satisfied. You'll just be in this melancholy teenage funk for all of your life. So we see this at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Luke 6:12-19. And here, pay attention to this rhythm of communion, community, and ministry, and how Jesus is living out his life. Make sure, I'm not sure I have the right version here. I think, well, if not, we'll deal with it. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, that is Jesus, and all night he continued to pray in prayer to God. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, would spend all night in prayer. Did he need to do that? I don't know. But he wanted to. The love called him. That was the union. I don't know that you would classify it as need to. Did he need it in order to receive something? No, I think he is just, it's who he was. This desire for communion. It's who we are. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. So he's drawing this out of this large community around him of followers and people listening to his teaching. From out of that, he draws an inner circle of 12 that's going to have a more intimate communion with him in the limitations of being in the body. Simon, whom he called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And last on the list is Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And there is, in that mix of community, there's always an element of the betrayer, of where the false self just really rises up and has a whole nother agenda for our communion, for our community, for the whole kingdom of God and how that's going to play out. And Jesus welcomes him. He welcomes him into the communion, into the community. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with with a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. So this communion, community, and ministry. In communion, we are touched by the Father. I mean, we are touched like a hot wire that goes to the center core of your being. And if you've tasted just a bit of that, or been around someone who's tasted just a bit of that, you recognize what your soul is truly hunger for, what your spirit truly longs for, that this communion, right, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. One thing I've asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold him in his temple. Right, your heart longs to cry, holy, holy, holy. But the Father is not content just to sit up there and be worshipped from below. He comes down in his Son to be one of us, to draw us into his very self, his very communion, that very Trinitarian communion that Jesus knows, he draws us into. This is the eternal life, to know the Father, to know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. This is the life in the Spirit, that he is making us one with him in his Holy Spirit blowing through us like blood flowing from one vessel to another, continually flowing. Community. Community is where union is transformed. Where communion is transformed into a union with one another. God is not content to be an island set apart alone. He comes down to us. And in our communion with him, he draws us in that shared love. Our shared love for the Son, our shared love for the Father, our shared love for the Spirit. He shares my love with Kathy and with me, and he starts with Peter and Catherine and Wills and Ted and Francisco, Tommy and Gina, Bud, you know, Steve, Scott, Rick, you know, just he has this shared love. He starts, the love I have for them, I'm going to share with you, John. And that we love and we're loving out of the Father's love bubbling up within us, unfolding within us, drawing all creation into that union. I was never created to be a rock, a solitary island. You were never created to be a rock, a solitary island. He has created us to be living stones that he is building together into a temple of his Spirit. This morning in Sacred Space, Rachel, this is supposed to be confidential stuff, but it's not. But they're insights, so I'll go ahead and share them. I just don't want to take credit for these beautiful things coming out. But from Ezekiel, where we're walking into the river, and we walk in ankle deep, and then we're invited to walk in knee deep, and then we're invited to walk in waist deep, and then, you know, we're just coming up to our neck, that God's always calling us deeper, and that river's flowing from the temple. The temple is not just flowing alone from God, an island, a pool, but it's God building this community of which he's filling with his presence. This communion is spilling upward and outward and drawing in this community, this living temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's out of this that ministry flows, bringing this healing to the nations, right, that we read about in Revelation, the city of God. God could do it by himself. Does he need us? Probably not. But does he desire us? Does he yearn for us to be one to share his union? Yes, he does. So that's the plan. There is no plan where John just remains a rock alone with God or alone with Kathy, apart from the rest of the world, my own little corner of paradise. So I'm not putting you in your own little corner of paradise. I want you to incarnate my presence in the world to be this life-giving community. And then ministry, yeah, just talked about that, spills out into the world. We have two great commandments, in the commandments, the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is God's plan for ministry. And it's not there so that we will be effective in ministry. This is God's plan for all creation. This is how he brings about this theosis, this divinization where God becomes man, and then by entering into us, man shares in all that God is, transforming everything, making all things new. That is a beautiful vision. At the heart of that is this call to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you do that, you become a reservoir, filling up with the eternal love of God. And then from out of that overflow in abundance, you join into community. You join into ministry. The difference between a reservoir and a reservoir fills up. And then out of its abundance, its overflow, ministry flows. A canal, as soon as water hits the canal, it drains out. And most of us have been taught to spend our lives doing ministry. Now, if you're not burning out for Jesus, you're just not loving God hard enough. And you're gonna run dry very quickly. And that's really, you will get drunk dry by the world and the needs of the world and overwhelmed by the world. But if you allow that communion and you don't try to turn that communion into an island where it's just God and me alone. And there are seasons when you need that. Let me just be clear. There are seasons when you need that restoration. Tommy was sharing about this beautiful island up in Maine. It's, you go out, they take you out on a boat, and there's only one house there, and there's all these eagles and birds and the waves, and that's all you hear is nature. No artificial light, no artificial sounds. And that's wonderful. Sounds like paradise. Maybe for a week or a month or a year. But there, after 5 years, you're probably going to go stir crazy and long for other people, right? And you want to go back. And so there's these wonderful places of restoration that we go to in solitude with God. Just God and me alone. But then he's okay, I want to share my community with you. And then we start going into community. And within that community, there's always that element of Judas. There's that undertone of the false self of the flesh. It's like, yeah, I could really do without that. But even that, God is turning for our good. It reveals the false self in me that God says, yeah, I wanna purify that in you, John. We're gonna work on that some. And I'm glad that person was there to help make you aware of it. Because when everything is running good, I can pretty much hide from my false self because it's a pretty comfortable place when you're around loving and supportive people who build you up and don't tear you down. But when people start going off the rails, then you want to go off the rails and fix them or correct them or just hope they'll just vote them off the island or whatever it is you got going. That's where love is tested and purified. And we learn forgiveness. We learn patience. We learn kindness. We learn that we're all at different places on the journey. Some are ahead of me and I'm inspired and I learn from them. And some are earlier to where I was in the journey in that teenage angst and, just wondering, will I ever fit in? And just they need a lot of support and affirmation. And we're this body working and growing together. Jesus says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. So can we just experience alone in communion? Yeah, that's where I'm experiencing him most deeply. But also experiencing Jesus in another way as Christ among us, between us. Sometimes it's gifts flowing to me. Sometimes it's Christ flowing, giving gifts from me. Sometimes it's just the sweetness of the shared love we have for the Lord. That transcends words, transcends any concept of ministry. It's just a beingness, a glory of what is. We know Christ differently through one another in a whole new dimension that just creates, and it deepens our communion, and the communion deepens our community. So what about ministry? Well, ministry, I heard someone saying this way in that sense of concentric circles. It's like it's at the center you have, At the center of your circles, you're going to have your communion. Then you're going to have your close-knit community. And then as you spread further out in community, there's going to be different layers of community. Some people you know really well. Some people, yeah, we get together every now and then. Some people I get together with every, you know, 3 years, 4 years. Some people every 15 years. And we kind of pick up where we left off. It's really a beautiful thing. And those change over time and they flow. You don't have enough time to be intimately involved with everybody. So you have these different layers of intimacy, different seasons. You have different, sometimes different callings for seasons that come together. So it changes, it flows over time. And not to feel guilty about that. You can't be all things to all people, but who are the people God has called you with for today? And then beyond that, you have acquaintances, people you do business with, go shopping, you know, the mailman, the service people, people you're doing work for, you're just touching briefly. It might be totally transactional, but within that transaction, it's leaving behind a residue of the presence of Christ. And part of evangelism, they say, is to get two people who have a community, they're experiencing Christ together, and just invite someone who doesn't know Christ, just to share in what you do. It's not evangelizing, it's not we're going to give them the message they need. But they're going to come and taste something. He said, people come and taste something. You've lived in it so long in this shared communion of this safety, of this shared union with Christ, that when other people who don't have it just hanging out and taste it, they want it. It's like, oh, that's a taste of the genuine love that's going to encourage me to get off my island and maybe seek out a little bit more intimate communion with somebody. Where they taste something of the presence of God in you, and it says, yeah, this is what I'm truly hungry for. That requires an authenticity. It does not require perfection. If you wait to perfection, you'll be waiting forever, because there's always more to learn. I mean, God's infinite. There's always more to learn. There's always more goodness to be transformed into. There's always more spiritual power. There's always some more of something that you feel you're currently lacking. And in that humility, we engage with who we are today. I think that's the question I want to ask. Who you are today, what's the invitation of God for you to enter into a little bit deeper communion with Him? What do you need? What do you need from others to help you get there? Do the patterns of your prayer fit the longing of your heart for this union with the Father? If not, I invite you to learn some new patterns of prayer. We offer centering prayer, welcoming prayer. These places will help us that get out of our thoughts and into this quiet, restful place before the Father. And when we get into that quiet and restful place, there's all kinds of swirling stuff that comes up in our soul. And so we learn to say, peace be still. I see you. I see that wounded false self. Come to the table. I don't need to chastise it and chase it out. It's like that portion of John which really still needs some growing up and healing. Come to the table. Sometimes it's my 7-year-old self. Sometimes it's my 17-year-old self. Sometimes it's my 27-year-old self. Sometimes it's my 50, 60, 65-year-old self. Forgot how old I was. Yeah, that's right. Oh, I am, aren't I?
You're timeless.
I'm timeless. Like the sermon, I'm timeless. No, I'm keeping an eye on the clock. There's the clock in the back. I invite those parts of me to the table. It's like, I see you. We all need that to be this non-judgmental, non-anxious presence. That's the community we all long for. And it's like in the contemplative movements in Imago Christi and the ministry I'm trying to bring here is helping us to abide in that place of being a non-anxious, welcoming presence. I don't need to be fixing people. I can offer them gifts, and I can receive from them gifts, But it's not my job to fix them. It's not my job to force them onto the train. It's not my job to drive the van of their being transformed into the fullness of Christ. Because we will be transformed into the fullness of Christ. He promises that. Paul talks about it, being transformed in the fullness of Christ. God will do it. We cannot. We cannot do it in ourselves, and we cannot do it for others, but we can abide in communion. We can let that communion spill out into community so that I can join in community with as much of my true self as I can bring, and then my false self that also comes with me, as I learn to be forgiving and a welcoming presence to that, and just growing awareness of it so it's not spinning out of control, then I can learn to do that with others. And our community matures over time into the fullness of Christ. And other people who taste that, it's like, wow, yeah, I want to learn how to do that. I want that to be birthed in me. I want that fullness of Christ that I'm seeing in others to unfold in me, to transform me. And that is the glory that the world longs for. It's not just a message of salvation. It is the incarnation of Christ in our midst. As we become a welcoming presence for Jesus of all that he is. So in sacred space, the last movement is always, what is the Lord's invitation to you? And I've gotten into the habit of writing John, comma, and this is the Lord's word to me. And I'm going to extend this as a welcome to all of us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome you with all that you are to be fully one with me, with all that I am. I hold nothing back. I hold nothing beyond your reach. I bring all that I am to you at the table. Come and eat of me, for I am true food. Come and drink of me, for I am the living water, the wine of heaven. The night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. This is my body broken for you. Eat it, all of you. Jesus is our true fruit, our true food, the bread of heaven. And he took the cup. Father, I thank you for this cup. The humanity of Jesus did not want to drink from this cup because it was a dark and painful place. It's a dark and painful place to enter into the brokenness and the death of every person who has ever lived and ever will live. Who would want to go there? Better to remain safe in heaven. A rock out of reach from those who would do us harm. But he comes down and he flows his life, pours it out into us. The light cups are juice, the dark cups are wine, but they both are the blood of Christ to us, representations of the spiritual blood that is flowing through us and among us, making us one. The image of God is to be that, not a rock, but a bridge over troubled water, to enter, to walk upon the water of our storms and say, peace, be still, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. So I invite you to welcome the Lord's presence into your heart, into your life, to walk with you, to abide with you, to deepen your communion with the Father, that we could be one with the Father just as Jesus is one with the Father, that we could be one with one another just as Jesus is one with each of us. In that union, we are drawn. It's not something we need to stir up. We just need to get deeper in touch with the communion, and that will flow out. And then we make space for time to be together. And then we invite people to come and visit that space as we share it. So come to the table. So Lord, give us eyes to see and a steadfast heart to bravely come into your throne room and behold you through the eyes of Jesus. Reveal yourself to us, Lord, that we may see you as you are and beholding you be transformed into the fullness of Christ. And Lord, while we're in process of that transformation, while we're getting glimpses and tastes of the true self in transformation, would you allow us to see that in others? I bless you with the Christ-given ability to see that in others, to encourage it, to call it forth, to build it up, to join with it, to celebrate it, and invite others in to share the party. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.